So we have had now quite a few chaburas on Rav Asher Weiss's Sefer on Emunah and Bitachon. And as I've told you numerous times, the Sefer is made up of a number of sections. And the last few sections have been the ones that we've actually primarily given our chaburas from. We have been dealing with the Sichot the last few weeks, and in the early weeks we were doing a number of the letters, the Igrot. And actually the very first week we learned together, which was the day of Yom HaShoah, we actually spoke about one of his letters about the Shoah, which is the last section of the Sefer. However, as far as I know, I don't think that we have yet done any of the first section of the Sefer, which are the Ma'amarim, which are the longer and somewhat more in-depth essays that I guess have actually been written for the purpose of this Sefer. And I figured after about 2 months of learning together, it's about time we go in the order of the actual Sefer and start from the beginning. Now, part of the reason I chose to do the topics in the order that we did was, first of all, the first 2 weeks were Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaut, and we picked letters that related to issues of Emunah relating to Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaut, Yom HaShoah, as I mentioned. And then I also felt that the letters in some of the Sichot were a little shorter, a little bit more digestible in this short, once a week, 30-minute Chabura that we have. But at this point, I think it's Kedai. I'm not sure how many more weeks we'll still be going, but as long as you're here, I'll be here. Let's go to the beginning of the Sefer and sink our teeth into some of the meteor, if you will. I think everything we've done has been great and been very substantive, but the even more meaty and more substantive things. Now, as it so happens, so we're starting at the beginning of the Sefer now. Ma'amarim, Siman Aleph, Page Aleph. Now again, we've done many, many pages and chapters in the Sefer already, but now we're ready to go to the beginning. As it so happens, the very first chapter is in fact somewhat similar, certainly in length, to the chapters we've seen until now. It's only 3 pages. There are other essays in this section, which are 10, 15, 20 pages. I don't know if we'll get to those. If we do, that would probably take us obviously more than one shir to cover, even if we only did highlights. But this we could do in one sitting. And this is the opening chapter of the entire Sefer. And it's about the question of bitachon. And as we shall see in the opening, the title, Mitzvahs Bitachon, really needs what they would call in Hebrew a siman she'ela. That's the question that he's dealing with. Is bitachon a mitzvah or not? So let's get into it. We'll start the paragraph. You'll see the chapter. And what I like and what's so important about this particular chapter, it's short and it's sweet, which is also good. But more than that, by asking the question whether bitachon is a mitzvah or not, it'll also be an opportunity for Rosher Weiss, even if it's only somewhat short, but to give us a definition of what is bitachon. Right? To have bitachon is a bitui is an expression that we often say to each other or other people, or hopefully ourselves. But what exactly is bitachon? Now, I have not read all of the other ma'amarim, even though I've read most of the Sefer already. I assume in some of the next chapters in which the word bitachon is part of the title in almost all the other chapters, he'll probably much more deeply flesh this out. But at least as an opening salvo, as an opening entree, let's see what he says in this opening chapter. So he says as follows. Here we go. Hein yadanu, shemiras ha'emunah, and right away he does something which will be relevant for the rest of the chapter. He's kind of blurring the lines between two different terms, emuna and bitachon. And for now he's kind of putting them together and he's saying it's clear, we all know this is well known, that emuna, bitachon, I'll translate those as faith and trust in Hashem, is a very, very elevated, very, very important value, very important midah. Ad she'amru, in fact, as a dramatic expression of this, the Gemara Masechta Makos, towards the end, Chavdal Gamaral tells us, Ba'chag Chabakuk ve'emidam alachad, shnemar v'tzadik ve'emunato yichya. Right, those of you who've learned Makos, you may remember at the end of the Gemara, it talks about different suggestions, how we can take, the grand corpus of mitzvos and reduce it to more first principles. Okay, what can be even more primary than that? We can go from 613 down to this, down to that, down to that. And finally, the Gemara says, we don't even have to have 3, we don't have to have 10. We could reduce the entire Torah to one core principle, as Chabakuk says, tzadik be'emunaso yichya, that faith is how a tzaddik has to live. That ultimately, it's all about having faith, having emunah. And again, for now, he is blurring the line between emunah and bitachon. So, says Rav Asher Weiss, listen, there's nothing more to be said about the importance of having faith, right? It is a core bedrock principle. We all get that. However, here's the key question for us for today's chapter and today's learning. Ach yesh la ayin ha'im yesh ba gam mitzvah gemura kishar mitzvah sasei. It's one thing to say that bitachon amuna is important. Is it actually a mitzvah to have amuna? Is it a mitzvah to have bitachon? Oh, perhaps shem ein mitzvah sasei ela echad miyisodas hadas v'havoda shleima. Right, there could be things which are truisms, basic principles of truth, but they're not necessarily actual mitzvos. And again, he doesn't say this, but I assume that the nafkamina of something being a mitzvah, a minimum is that it may be obligatory, not just advisable. And if we do so, it not only may be right and proper, but there also may be reward, schar for it, and not only stam, but schar is a mitzvah ve'oseh. Right, so we're not. This is not a chapter discussing whether it's true or not. That's a given. The question is it merely a good midah? Is it merely the frum thing to do? Or is it more than that even? Is it in fact a mitzvah to have bitachon? So he says, let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos learns the source or quotes as a source for the mitzvah bitachon from the Lotase, surprisingly a negative commandment, Shelo Lira B'Shas Milchama. There are psukim in Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Ekev, earlier in Sefer Devarim, it actually gets repeated in numerous places, in which we are enjoined, we are more than commanded, despite the natural human instinct to be scared during war, to be scared when the enemy is in front of you and wanting to kill you. Nevertheless, the Torah tells us repeatedly not to be scared. And the Rambam includes this, he combines all those psukim into one mitzvah, lo taseh nunchet. V'hamitzvah nunchet, what is the 58th mitzvah of lo taseh, according to the Rambam? Shehisharnu miliyarei mina kofrim be'ed ha'milchama, v'shelo nivrach mipneihem. We shouldn't be scared of our enemies, we shouldn't run away from them. Aval chova aleinu l'hiskaber u'la'amod l'hitchazek. Keneged ha'am ha'acher. But on the contrary, we are obligated to have, to have might, litgaber, to overcome, and to stand strong in the face of the enemy. V'chol mi shi'asuk achor v'yivrach. Anyone who turns his back, so to speak, on the enemy, someone who runs away in fear, again, as humanly understandable as that might be, but religiously, that'd be a terrible and problematic thing. Says the Rambam, anyone who does that, kfar over al lo ta'aseh. That very act of fear, as human and understandable as it may be, it would be a violation of a lo ta'aseh. Who amar yital? What's the source of this lo ta'aseh? The pasuk in the beginning of Parshat Ekev, lo ta'arutz mipnehem, which means you should not be terrified of your enemy. And the Rambam adds, as we already noted, v'nichpala ha'azhara, this azhara is actually repeated in other places in the Torah. For example, at the end of Parshas Dvarim, lo sira'um. Again, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of your enemy. And says the Rambam, it actually appears even other times in the Torah, and he summarizes what's the point. Kolomar, shalo yivrchu, v'shal yeshuva l'achor, don't run away, don't even try to hide, be'et milchama. Ki be'inyan hazeh, efshar l'kayim, emunas ha'emes. And that's the key point. So even though it's all couched as a lotase, if you ask the Rambam, it's what we call might be calling an isra'aseh, meaning if you show fear, you run away, so that is something you're not supposed to do. But the reason you're not supposed to do that, the ultimate kiyum, says the Rambam, is that by actually having the courage to face your enemies, despite the fact that they may have weapons and, deadly intentions, but that is a way of fulfilling, says the Rambam, emunas emes, the true faith, having faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So right away we see two things from the Rambam. Again, we're going to tease this out as he goes through some other sources as we go along. But right away, I would say, what do you see from the Rambam is two things. Number one is, he too seems to blur the lines between trusting Hashem and believing in Hashem. In other words, I think it's clear, even though he didn't say it, but I think it's clear from the Psukim and the Rambam, no one is saying you shouldn't care about getting killed. What we're saying is, despite the risk, trust in Hashem. So not only is he blurring that idea of trust and emunah, he calls this emunah, even though what he's really describing is a form of trust, number one, but also the Rambam is, at least in his own way, answering the question we started with. Is this merely good advice? Is this merely good, proper hashkafa? The answer is no, it is all that, but it's more than that. There's evidently, at least, again, he's not talking about every day now. We'll have to see if we can discuss that as well. But at least in this makor, it sounds like at least in extreme circumstances, to not be scared of the danger is a way of fulfilling emuna in Hashem, and to be scared, and not just to be scared like as an initial impulse, but ad kedei kach that you run away, despite the fact that Hashem has, we're talking about a milchamet mitzvah, right? Hashem is with you. We're talking about a biblical army, obviously, in the context of the Torah. So to do that would be a lack of faith, a lack of trust in Hashem. Says Rav Asher Weiss, not only is this the opinion of the Rambam, this is also the opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch. There, towards the end of Dvarim, in Mitzvah Tov Kuf Chaf Hei, Mishar She'e Mitzvah, he's talking about the mitzvah to not be scared. That's on the Pasuk of Lo Ta'arutz, don't be terrified of your enemy. And the Sefer HaChinuch, as he often does, not often, I should say, always does, not only does he tell you the details of the mitzvah, but he also tells you the philosophy of the mitzvah. Mishar She'e Mitzvah, She'esh Lekol Echad Me Yisrael, Lasum La'Hashem, Yisparach, Mivtacho. So here you have the Chinuch following in the Rambam's footsteps, but here you have the Chinuch actually referring to this as Bitachon, Mivtacho, faith. And again, you see, as Rav Asher Weiss kind of dances between them, you know, for now, we haven't pointed out, you know, they can't be totally identical or you wouldn't need both. But for now, we have kind of going back and forth that whether it's, you want to call it emuna or call it bitachon, the way you face a very, you know, existential crisis, a natural instinctive fear like being at war, so that will show, do you truly have emuna, do you truly have bitachon? Right? And again, it doesn't just mean not to have any fear. I can't imagine. But it's talking about the fear as the Rambam defined it as, ad kedei kach, you run away. That level of fear is considered inappropriate because that would be betraying a lack of emuna, a lack of bitachon. And he says here at the end of the page, kiyotze bedavar, kasa b'sharei tshuva l'Rabbeinu Yonah. This is also written from Rabbeinu Yonah. This is in Shar Gimel in two successive paragraphs. And what he quotes here for you is only in Lamed Aleph, but he says something similar in paragraph Lamed Beis. And I will mention, first of all, because it's a fond memory, and also in honor of Akiva Hain, who's with us, that I first became aware of this particular keta, this particular paragraph in Rabbeinu Yonah, when I was in Riverdale. The 5 years I lived in Riverdale, I don't remember, I don't believe Akiva might have been born, but his older brother was born during that period. But the 5 years I lived in Riverdale, still learning full-time in YU, but I didn't go back to YU for Night Seder. So the first year or two we were in Riverdale, I learned in the Yungas of Riverdale for Night Seder. And at some point I migrated and I started learning. It ended up being for 2 or 3 years. I learned Night Seder every night in the Telz Yeshiva of Riverdale, which, as Akiva knows, is, you know, quite a unique place, certainly for me at the time. I'd never been for any regular amount of time in such of, you know, I've been in other yeshivish places, but Telz Riverdale is really, really, really yeshivish. And it's a fantastic and wonderful yeshiva. I actually have very good things to say about it if you're looking for that kind of place. Excellent yeshiva. But one of the years I was there, I would go, you know, for Night Seder, and before Maariv, during Elulzman, the Rosh Yeshiva would learn Rabbeinu Yonah Sharei Tshuva. And I remember one of the years in the 15-20 minute shmooze that he gave before Maariv, he did this Rabbeinu Yonah. And I'll never forget, it just, you know, I hadn't thought about it in years, and then I opened up Rav Asher Weiss and I saw it, and right away it took me back to those times in Riverdale and the Telz Beis Medrash. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva, he's a very, very dramatic and dynamic speaker. And I remember reading this Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rabbeinu Yonah is very powerful. He says, Kito Mar B'Vavcha, quoting the Psukim there, Rabbi Magoyim Eila. If you're worried, after all, there's so many Goyim, there's so many enemies, you know, Mimeni Echa Uchal Harishem, how are we going to conquer them? Lo Sira Mehem. Lo Sira Mehem. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva, he was speaking in Yiddish a little bit. And he kept on saying in Yiddish, Tzitternisht. Tzitter means to fear. Tzitternisht. The Torah is telling us, Tzitternisht. Don't be scared. Do not be scared. Lo Sira Mehem. Ki Teitzel Melchama Levecha Avrisa Susa Rechav Am Rav Mimcha. Lo Sira Mehem. Tzitternisht. Do not be scared. And what's the principle? Says Rabbeinu Yonah. He's Harnu Bazeh. Shemira Adam. Ki Tzara Krova. If you're really scared because of this impending danger, you should realize, I'm sorry, if you see that there's an impending danger, you're object, no one's saying war is not dangerous. Of course it's dangerous. Tia Yeshua Hashem Bilvavo, the Yivtach Aleha. You have to realize that Hashem is with you, He can protect you, and you have to put your trust, your faith in that. Kinyan Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ach Kara L'Re'ah of Yeshua, right? Hashem is close, His Yeshua, Hashem's salvation is going to always be close to those who fear Him. And it says in the Navi Yeshaya in Perek Nun Aleph, Mi'at v'tiri me'enosh yamus. right? Again, the same idea. Who are you? Why would you be scared of a human being when you have Hashem, so to speak, on your side? We'll process this all in one second. Let's just read. He points out another place in Rabbeinu Yonah here in Shari Tshuva, Sif Yud Zayin, Umalos Shleimus Habitochon, and that whole paragraph, Yud Zayin, he's making the point that there are many ideas, hashkafos, what he calls milos, or we might call midos, which, says Rabbeinu Yonah, they're really, really important, and therefore they're not merely a mila, not merely a mida, but actually are concretized as being actual mitzvos. And he goes through a few, right? You know, Talmud Torah is not just a value. There's a chiyuv to have Talmud Torah. Emuna, Yira, he goes through other examples. And one of the things Rabbeinu Yonah there says is, the idea of having full bitachon, trusting in Hashem, that's not stam a mila, a frum thing to do. It's more than that. As the pasuk says, Tamim tia im Hashem alokecha. Hari says Rav Asher Weiss, and it's tavinu al shleimus habitachon mikra de tamim tia. In other words, basically, most of the Rishonim, we've seen the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch and Rabbeinu Yonah originally, they are all sourcing this mitzvah from the psukim about not fearing in battle. And Rabbeinu Yonah, in this other paragraph, actually introduces a completely different source, which is the idea of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lokecha. You should have perfect faith in Hashem. You shouldn't be looking to other gimmicks, sorcery, you know, people who claim they can predict the future and all sorts of other shtick like that. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lokecha. Have perfect and sincere faith in Hashem. And he adds as well that the Ramban in Parshas, in Devarim Perek Yud-Ches, says this. And in the earlier Achronim, the Sefer HaCharedim counts this as well. So as we'll stop here for 1 second. The next part of the essay is going to be where he tries to explain the relationship between Tachan and Amunah. For now, he's just been doing one thing, which is he has demonstrated pretty convincingly that at least for the Rishonim that we've seen, and they seem to be a pretty broad swath, it's not just the right thing to do, a nice thing to do, the frum thing to do. More than that, having bitachon, even when challenged, is in fact a mitzvah to do so. And as we saw, certainly in the Rambam, who counts it as a lotase, if you are in one of those situations and you don't have faith in Hashem, so that actually might just be not just a lack of a mitzvah, there may even be a form of an avera to not have bitachon, not have trust or faith in Hashem. Any questions on this before we go on? Okay, fantastic. I'm not sure if that's owing to the power of Rav Asher Weiss's clarity or my dynamic exposition of Rav Asher Weiss. But either way, we both thank you. So we will move on. Okay, weiter. So now he says as follows. Here we go. This is in the middle paragraph of the second page. The whole thing's only 3 pages, so we're halfway there. Ach lafi pshutan shel dvarim, says Rav Asher Weiss. Hayanira de mitzvos bitachon, kalula bemitzvos ha'emuna, v'nigreres achara. Says Rav Asher Weiss, the reason I've been blurring the lines, the reason the Rishonim sometimes use these terms interchangeably, is because it seems pretty clear that bitachon is really a subcategory, a prat, in the larger mitzvah of emuna. There's the broader idea of emuna, believing in Hashem, and then one way we do that, a specific way we do that, is what we call bitachon. And now the question, of course, is, well, if that's the case, what is unique about bitachon different than generic emuna? And that's what he's going to discuss now. And he continues, the halo, tzivta Torah, the Torah already commands, anoch Hashem lokecha, lo yeh Elohim acherim, right? Of course, the pasuk in the Aseret HaDibrot, v'ha'amamin b'Hashem, and here comes the key point, al karcha, or al kain, therefore it must be, yivtach bo levado, v'lo zulaso. Emuna v'hapitachon, shnei tzadim heima, shel osamad beya, u'mitzvah achas hi. Right? He uses the popular expression, two sides of the same coin. And he's going to be more specific. Don't worry, he has not been as specific. When we get towards the bottom of the next page, he'll be even more clear than he has now, until now. But his basic point for now is, yes, is there a certain amount of overlap? Are we blurring the lines? Yes, in fact, we are. Because the shoresh of bitachon in Hashem is predicated on emuna, but we could also say it in the reverse direction, which is what he just said now. If a person truly has emuna, sometimes people have pay lip service, right? That's not sincere. That's in Hebrew, they have the term misafala chutz, right? It's just an external thing. People like to talk the talk. But if someone has genuine emuna, says Rav Asher Weiss, so then karuch, Memela, as part of that, if you believe in Hashem, of course you are going to trust in Hashem. If you recall, we saw last week, just to remind you and to fill you, right, is last week's shiur, we spoke about a different chapter in Rav Asher Weiss's Sefer, where he spoke about Smichas Gula Letfila. And he developed the idea that the idea is if you truly believe in the Geula, i.e. that Hashem intervenes in the world, He saved Am Yisrael and Mitzrayim, etc., etc. If you truly believe in that, Memela, you will daven to Hashem, because you realize He is the one who has the power, and He intervenes, right? Davening in that sense is an expression of faith, right? You daven because you believe Hashem is listening and Hashem can do something about it, right? Or else it's just be meshuggah to daven, right? And there's no doubt, I don't want to digress, it's not a shiur by davening, but there's no question that for a lot of people who struggle with davening, and a lot of people struggle with davening, for a lot of them, on some level, the reason is because they have a chisar in emuna. I'm not judging them. I'm not saying that that's probably more common than we want to admit. And that's something that they and we as a community have to work on. But if you truly believed in davening, you know, it would come a lot easier. Like, who wouldn't want to be able to talk to the president or the king? So if you really believed you were doing that, I think davening would be easier. It's hard because for all the obvious reasons that we all understand. But nevertheless, similarly here he's saying, if you have true emuna, so mamela you're going to trust in Hashem, right? Because after all, who are we believing in? Again, if you think it's just some old guy with a long flowing white beard, you know, who gives you presents on Hanukkah or something else that happens in December, okay, so maybe you're not going to trust him. Who said he can intervene in the, you know, on the military field? But if you truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however you envision him, we all have some vision of Hashem, none of which is correct. But however you're envisioning him, but if that vision means, you know, someone who's Hakol Yachol, Hakol Yodea, Hakol Tov, he's omniscient, omnipotent, you know, he can do everything, he knows everything. So, of course you trust in him. But you have to have that belief. And therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, clearly, bitachon is an outgrowth of emunah. He then goes on to quote a few other times in Rabbeinu Yonah, where he makes this exact point. And Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the other things Rabbeinu Yonah is very well known for writing, is a commentary on Sefer Mishlei. So commenting on Mishlei, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Kavav, Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows, in the next paragraph, Hine, nedaber al biur ha-bitachon, ki hu mishurash, mishoresh, excuse me, ha-emunah. He says it right as clearly as you can be. Rabbeinu Yonah says, bitachon, the source of it, the root of bitachon is emuna. As the pasuk says, kinyan shenemar, batach b'Hashem, v'asei tov, you should trust in Hashem, do good things, shchan eretz, ura emuna. And the ones who dwell in the land should be nourished by emuna. So you see in that pasuk, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it starts off with bitachon, batach b'Hashem, and it ends with emuna, because really emuna and bitachon are connected. V'daki bitachon ve'emuna ha'brura hitchazek ha'leib Yeshuas Hashem v'asamach ala be'emet kinyan shenemar ve'emin b'Hashem. If you truly have emuna, so then memela you're going to be able to have bitachon. One more citation, also in Mishlei, also from the Rabbeinu Yonah, in that same perek gimel of Mishlei, but earlier in the perek gimel pasuk zayin, yira et Hashem. What does that mean to fear Hashem? Ki lo yagia ha'adam l'shleimut ha'yira, zulatei b'shleimut midat b'atachon. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, if you want to have true yiras shamayim, true yiras shamayim includes bitachon. Ki'ach reish l'yiftach b'adam, lo yira zulatei Hashem yidbarach. Right? If you truly fear Hashem, that means you don't trust or fear anyone else. That means you trust and fear Hashem. U'tekabel nafsho, and you, in your deepest, you know, most full part of who you are, you accept upon yourself, ki hakol bidei shamayim. In the end, it all is up to Hashem. It's not just a bumper sticker. It's not just a thing to say to sound frum, at a Shabbaton or something. You have to really believe it. Tikabel nafsho, ki hakol bidei shamayim. Vein lo chelek b'atzmo. There's no independent other source or other controlling power. It's all coming from Hashem. V'yekavei tamid al Hashem. And if that's the case, Memela, you'll put your hopes and your trusts always in Hashem. Yisayinah b'chalei elav. You'll always turn to Hashem when you have an issue. Me'ela yagia el shleimut yira. And if you have that, that's how a person gets to the shleimus of mida, of yira and emuna. Let's skip the rest of that paragraph. I don't think we need it, and we're going to run late if we do. So let's continue now as Rav Asher Weiss kind of winds things down and summarizes this brief, but I think important piece. Harei lanu, he says, bottom line, what do we have here? Let's summarize. Harei lan de hapitachon, Mishorash Amunahu, the Hamamin Bahashem Ba'emes, Nisha'an Alav. If you truly, truly believe in Hashem, of course you're going to rely on Him. Umchazek Libo B'Yeshua Hashem, and you're going to always have a certain sense of strength, of inner strength, of inner fortitude, because you know you could rely on Hashem. V'chein Mashma, not only from Rabbeinu Yonah, but that goes back to the Rambam we started with, Sharei Katav, because after all, what did the Rambam say when he talked about not being scared during war? Said the Rambam, again, if there was no Hashem, if you don't believe in Hashem who could be Mashkiach and help you, of course there's what to fear, obviously. But if you realize that there's a Hashem, then you realize it's going to be what Hashem wants it to be. So there's nothing to fear, because we believe, you know, everything, ultimately there's a plan. Hashem has good intent. So I'm not the firmest person. I never pretended to be. And I wasn't even trying to be, I wasn't trying to be fake firm or clever. But yesterday, I'm trying to remember, I think it was right before Marv last night. I was right outside the shul, and somebody else in our neighborhood came over to, you know, was walking towards me, and he had his hands up kind of like this. And he's like, you know, what's going to be? I don't know what exactly he had, you know, did something happen right before he came to shul? Was he on a conversation about something? But needless to say, you know, we've all had upheavals, and I'm sure, you know, no one's life is as predictable as we thought it would be a few months ago. And he had his hands like this. He says to me, looking at me, you know, what's going to be? And I have to say, what popped right out of my mouth was, whatever Hashem wants. Now, he kind of laughed, you know, and I kind of laughed. You know, but I wasn't meaning it to be funny, obviously, or even glib. And I still wasn't trying to, like, you know, virtue signal how firm I am. But I guess I could take some comfort in knowing that at least in some deep recess of my consciousness, I really do believe that. I can't say I always live with that every moment. I struggle like everybody else sometimes. And when things are stressing me out, I should be able to say, well, why am I stressed? It's going to be whatever Hashem wants. And I have to say, there are times in my life where I can do that, to be honest. And the more, I have to say, I know for myself, the more I can actualize this, and it's not just, you know, a nice chapter in a Sefer, but it's like really part of my life. It's not just true, it's actually comforting. It actually, you know, it's as comforting as any therapy could be. I'm not dismissing the need sometimes for therapy, but this really can relieve stress. There's only one problem, you have to really believe it. Right? You can't trick yourself. Right? But if you really believe it, so this is going to give a certain level of comfort. And that's what the Rambam said. If you really believe it, then what's to fear even in battle? V'sharash adavar, says Rav Asher Weiss, Bibir yisod ha'munu hu sha'kadosh baruch hu melech malchei ha'mlochim. Hashem is the King of Kings, v'shalit b'elyonim v'tachtonim, hu levado takif u'ba yechol rabal kovol kulam v'eino milvado. It's all from Hashem. He can do anything and everything. And this is exactly, that's something, by the way, you know, we're reading the first chapter of the Sefer now, but last week we were reading another chapter where he developed this idea much further, that all of tefillah is ultimately an expression or an act of faith. And now he says this this point, which is, let's just skip, we'll just read the last, read the last two paragraphs, which are crystallize everything, and then we'll conclude in 2 minutes. So he said, Ba'akash Baruch Hu. He says here, this is not like something to be, he's not apologizing, so to speak, for it. Yes, it's true, I'm blurring the line, because the line is, in fact, blurry. You can't, it's not like a brisker chakira, what's bitachon and what's emuna, you can't really disentangle them. They're actually really connected very much to each other, because a person who really has emuna, memela, he's going to have bitachon. Ukedivrei, the posuk, as the posuk says, batach ba'Hashem, Vasei Tov, as we just saw, Shachan Arts Ura Emuna. Right? You start off with that bitachon because it all ultimately is rooted in Emuna. And now he concludes with the final paragraph, and in this opening sentence, he basically translates, you know, almost three pages into one sentence. Bottom line, if you have one takeaway message from today's chapter, it's the following sentence. Emuna Yesod Mufshadhu. Emuna is abstract. You know what I translate that correctly? Yesod Mufshat. It's an abstract principle. Emuna, all that implies, right? You'll go to Gavriel Rosen's Chabura, Rabbi Bednarsh's Chabura, you'll learn more Nevuchim, and all the other Sifrei Emuna and Machshava, all of those details, however you want to conceive of Hashem, more Kabbalistically, more rationalistic, philosophical, but all of that is abstract. What is God, right? Wow, that's abstract. Emuna is Yesod Mufshat. But bitachon hu, halohu habitui hamaasi, hamushlam vahaniskav shalamuna. Bitachon is the concrete, practical expression of the more abstract faith that Amunah describes. The ma'amin b'Hashem, bechreach boteach bo. So, it's one thing to believe in Hashem in the abstract. But when you're, you know, applying for a job, when you're about to have some other life challenge, or you're presented with anything else, not to do your hashtadlus. We've repeated that many times. Of course we do our hashtadlus. But nevertheless, to take comfort and to say, you know what? I'm doing my hashtadlus because that's what Hashem wants me to do. But at the end of the day, I truly believe that it's going to be what Hashem wants. That Hashem is, in the end, He is the boss. That is an expression, that's the practical, concrete expression of the more abstract and theoretical emunah. And therefore, he says, that's what Habakkuk meant that we started off the piece with. Habakkuk, hemidu alacha, tzadik be'emunasa yichyeh, achena kavana, limidas habitachon, velo rak le'emunah. Right, what's the phrase? It's not just tzadik be'emunaso. He adds that extra word, says Rav Asher Weiss. This is such a beautiful he'ara. It's tzadik be'emunasa yichyeh. And what does that mean to live emuna? I know there's a very popular book. It's not so popular in the Gush Beis Medrash, but it's very, very popular in many other parts of Israel, including many other yeshivas, right? Living emuna, or living with emuna. I don't even know exactly the title because we don't have it so much in our Beis Medrash. It could be, it's a wonderful book. I have no idea. I myself haven't learned it. But says Rav Asher Weiss, you see, what's the point of all these makarot we've seen? That living with emuna, that's what we call bitachon. The term bitachon means that's lived or applied emuna in actual terms. And that's why Habakkuk, that's why the Gemara says, tzadik be'emunasu yichye. It's not just enough to have the abstract emuna, it's yichye, live that emuna, and when you translate that emuna into life, that's what we call bitachon. Habitur l'chei ha-ma'amin, achei b'midas ha-bitachonu. What a great way to end the chapter. That the expression of living with faith, habitui l'chayei ha-ma'amin, what's the expression of a believer's life? That is midas bitachon. So it's important to be a philosopher, a shtickle if you like that. You should learn the yisodos emuna, but that's all hypothetical, it's abstract, it's intellectual, and it's fine. But brass tacks, bottom line, when you're confronted in challenges in life, do you feel complete alone, or do you feel like Hashem is there and you don't necessarily know what it's going to be, but you know what? Hashem is there and it's going to be what Hashem wants. That is the Midah Bitachon. And in fact, it's not only a true thing, it's not only the right thing. In fact, as we saw in the opening Makaros, it is a mitzvah.